Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
He had to deal with nothing dead. Nothing was dying.
Amen.
The mandate was to expand that presence across the globe and around the world until all the earth was filled with that presence. That was the first mandate. The man fell, of course, we know. But then the Lord came himself. Lo, it is written me in the volume of books. Prepare me a body. So he came himself and won that position and that authority back, or took it back, right? Come on. This is the gospel in a nutshell.
Amen.
And then he said, go up into the upper room and wait until I send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, until you be endued with power, right? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, Holy Spirit came, endued those with power. And ultimately, the book of Acts says those 12 apostles turned upside down the known world. 12. That I was just talking in our covenant class about synergy. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but 1 × 2 × 3, you start to synergize. Remember the Lord said, 1 won't chase 1,000 and 2,000. He said, 1 will chase 1,000, 2 will chase 10,000. So there's a synergizing in the spirit. There's a power, there's an anointing, a grace in the spirit to do far beyond what you could do naturally.
Amen.
Tell somebody, devil don't want you to know that. All right, so Jesus came and he got that authority back for us. And when he left, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and I give you power. Now go. And so here we are with the mandate to make all of Jesus' enemies his footstool.
Amen.
I won't go this way, but I just touch it. In Revelation 12, the church, the woman, is with child, birthing a man-child.
Amen.
And the dragon is there waiting to devour. Is that right?
Amen.
But the moment the child is birthed, it's caught up. That's not talking about Jesus. There can be some references. You could reference that, but it's not talking about Jesus or the past. It's talking about a remnant, a last day church or people caught up to the throne. Not to where heaven is, but to the throne. When we talk about the throne, we're talking about the place of authority.
Amen.
See, right now there's a prince, right? The prince of the power of the air. Where is he? He's not confined just to the dust. He's in the atmosphere. He's in the next heaven. That's where that man-child is caught up to. And when he's caught up there, read it yourself. When he's caught up there, war breaks out.
Amen. Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
When he takes that proper place, war breaks out. Michael and his angels hear that trumpet. There's a trumpet that's going to sound where the word says, and the kingdoms of this earth are now the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. In other words, war breaks out. The Father said, Jesus, sit here till I make all your enemies your footstool. There's going to be a virgin church, a church that's not caught up in religious stuff, that's not caught up in traditions of men, that's not caught up in all the worldly activity and stuff, but that go back to loving God like we're supposed to. I'm going to cuss at you. They're holy. They suffer long. God is bringing us back to that. To birth out of that virgin church a man child. See, Adam was a man child. Let me just cut it. Adam was a man child. Adam was never a child.
Amen.
He was a man, but he was a child in age. He was a day old, but he has all the muscles. Like he'd been in the gym. Adam. That's how he was created.
Amen.
Amen. So that terminology in Revelation 12, the last day church is going to birth another man child.
Amen.
In other words, what the church is birthing is not just immature babies now.
Amen.
What's been incubating in the womb of the church, they don't care whether you know their name or not.
Amen.
They don't need their name in lights.
Amen.
They don't care, you know, how big the church, how many you running on a Sunday.
Amen.
What's your offerings look like? None of that foolishness. All they know is him.
Amen.
I'm here with a mission, a mandate, a purpose. He's got a plan. All I need to do is follow the plan.
Amen.
I liken it to Elisha when he died, right? It's funny because Gehazi fell off into sin.
Amen.
He was the one that was to receive the mantle. But Gehazi went after Naaman, remember?
Amen.
And wanted the clothes and all the stuff, and he got the leprosy instead.
Amen.
So when they buried Elisha, no one had received the mantle. But look at God's wisdom here. He left Elisha's grave open. It ain't by coincidence. Listen, Joseph said, when y'all leave Egypt, don't leave my bones here.
Amen.
All the patriarchs. Why did Abraham bury Sarah in a certain place?
Amen.
Because they knew a resurrection was coming. They were very prophetic. They knew. So when Jesus rose, many that were in the graves rose with him. So when Elisha was buried, God saw to it that in Israel, they bury above ground anyway, but they put these big tombstones and stuff over them. Elisha's grave was open. It just so happened that some say these were guys that robbed this one guy. And then they saw them. They spied the Moabites, the spoilers coming. You know, the thieves. And so they got frightened, and they just took the body and threw it over in the first grave, the open grave. Happened to be Elisha's grave. Elisha's grave, right? And when they threw it over in there, what was on Elisha that had not been transferred got on that man. Are y'all still with me? Some of us need something to get on us. this cloudy Sunday morning. It got on the man. Now the thing about it, we don't know the man's name. I did some research. You don't listen. What was his name? What did he do? It don't tell you a thing. All it tell you what was on Elisha got on him. What was on Elijah got on Elisha. What was on Elisha got on the no name. There's a person, there's a people coming forth, don't care about a name. They care about pleasing someone. So that last day's church is caught up to the place of authority, and war breaks out, and Satan is cast down from that position of authority. Remember, the word says in Ephesians 2:2, he is the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air, the airwaves, that heavenly realm. But remember, look at someone and tell him, he's only a prince. Revelation 1:6 says that he has made us to be kings. I'll take a king over a prince anytime. As a matter of fact, a prince has no authority unless he can receive it from a king or a queen. He has absolute, in a hierarchy, in that type of structure, he has no authority. Do you realize that? All right. So we're going to talk about victors and not victims. Too many walk around with a victim mentality, playing the blame game, blaming, you know, this one, blaming that one, blaming that culture, blaming where you were born, all this stuff. Blame, 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 blame. Tell somebody, no more victim. We're going to pull all those layers of onion off of you and get to the core of who you really are. But tell somebody, you're going to have to wrestle to get there. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6, right? But tell somebody, you have to wrestle. That's what some people check out. You don't like to wrestle. You don't like to grapple. You like it nice and easy. Let me give you a definition of wrestle, because we're going to look at some of the patriarchs who wrestled to obtain rest. Now, what is our ultimate goal anyway? To enter into faith rest, right? How many, don't raise your hand, but how many have come this morning and you came full with anxiety or troubled in your mind or, you know, something on your heart that's heavy or seeking something that seems so out of reach or far-fetched, you know, something that is troubling? Well, our ultimate goal all the time is faith rest. To enter into a faith rest where your mind is at ease. You're not even at your best unless your mind is at ease. Now, you can operate in a gift and such, you know, with a lot of different circumstances, but when you're at rest, see, discerning of spirits doesn't even operate well unless you're at rest. You can miss the mark a lot of times. But when you're at rest, let me give you an example. Jesus was at rest all the time. Everything he did was from a place of rest. We don't ever see him anxious. We see him grappling in prayer, you know, to break through some demonic strongholds. But we never see him anxious or in a hurry. How could he, in a crowd of, I call them jungle people, in a crowd of uncouth, you know, village people who, if you got in the way, you'd get trampled, trying to get to Jesus, you know, and they wanted healing, so they were thronging and thousands of them just all around, noise and everything. How could he say, somebody touch me? Except he were in a place of rest. Thank you. Huh? Except he were in a place of rest. You know, like I know, when, especially when you come through trials. This song says, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? You know, you've been, you know, from this, you beat, and then finally you get out. Now you got patience. Now you're at rest. Now your mind's not racing at 1,000 miles an hour. And, you know, you're in the moment. And discernment is king. You don't have to be looking for stuff. You can sense. See, this is the thing about Adam. Adam walked with God.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.reslifefl.com. That's www.reslifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.